And we thank you, Lord, right now that these people are supernaturally on the mend in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for it. We curse sickness and disease.
Yes.
And we say that it will not operate in our bodies in the name of Jesus. We declare it, Lord, right now. We praise you in your name.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, how many are getting excited for the water baptism?
Yeah,
amen.
Absolutely.
Now, I did have some concerns, all right? Some people were asking me how long I hold them down. And my response was, whatever it takes to get the job done. Okay? So, right. And it also depends on what you bring to the picnic as well, too. So, you know, I mean, if it's really good, then we can cut a few seconds off. So I'm kidding. But we'll take care of it. You know, we'll take care of it. So no, it's good. And you know, water baptism is just so important because the Bible talks about ministries of, or how can I say, baptisms. And there's different baptisms in the Bible. There's, you know, baptism water. There's John the Baptist, I'm refilling here. His ministry with Jesus were baptized. John's baptism, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the body of Christ, baptism. I mean, there's all these baptisms. Water baptism is very important because what it does, it declares in Colossians your decision for God publicly before men, angels, demons, God, everybody. You're making a public declaration of an inward decision you've made. And so it's very important, and it does something to you spiritually. It's very important to do that. So if you haven't done it before, I'd encourage you to do it. I think most people in here have done it, but or like for myself, I did it when I was a kid, and then when Adrian and I were adults after we were married, I wanted to do it again because I just wanted to reconfirm. I'd rededicated myself to Christ. I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that next summer I was like, "Yes, I'm going to get water baptized." amen. And it's just something that it changes your life.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Well, we are continuing to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because guess what? There's so many dimensions to the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues. And it's extremely powerful. It's extremely powerful. If you haven't, like I said, there's some teachings online that I've been doing the last few weeks. Last week I finished up 10 reasons why we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I'm going a different direction. I actually prepared something else, but I'm going a different direction. So, let's turn to, first of all, 1 Corinthians. I'm actually going there right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. We've talked about this scripture before. And I will say this. And people in the denominational realm will argue with me left and right, but they're wrong. I'm just going to say it. You cannot accurately walk according to biblical scripture of a Christian without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. What does that generate? That's going to generate frustration in your life. It will. Because you're going to read about things in the Bible that are happening to people, and you're not going to experience them. I'm just saying. And I'm going to show you some scriptures tonight on that. But let's start again with 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, and it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit and he speaks mysteries. Now, this is so, you know, we read this and we have no idea what it is that we're talking about. Sorry, I'm uploading something here because my iPad is so, I guess I'm going to have to do it on my phone. Oh, cool. I got an email from a pastor here. Isn't that great? Like you care about that. I'm joking. I mean, Publisher's Clearinghouse. Maybe not. We speak an unknown tongue. We are what? Speaking mysteries. Everybody say mysteries. There are things that we're praying out that we don't know. See, this verse here is going to pray out things, mysteries that you need. See, Adrian was talking about earlier where you just can't, there's things you're not going to be able to figure out. Okay? You can't figure things out. I've talked about it before. You know, Adrian and I, we're driving, we're praying out mysteries because there's a drunk driver came and he about hit us. I slowed down and I had to pray it out. You know, what about things in your life that you've never been able to overcome, but you could overcome it in tongues? Anybody have like a habit or something in your life that you're like, I wish I could get rid of that thing? You know? I don't care if it's from picking your nose to, you know, whatever. Eating too much chocolate, okay? We can pray out things in the spirit realm that can help us that we have no idea. See, that's this scripture is really a blank slate to, I can pray out mysteries. You know, God is able to do things in you that you can't do, but sometimes your gray matter gets in the way. You know, your thinking gets in the way, and you're trying to figure everything out. You know, we were just talking about comparison. Somebody mentioned it earlier. You know, Facebook, everything's great. You know, nobody puts on Facebook, hey, I filed bankruptcy, right? You know, people don't like me. You know, hey, everybody, I gained 50 pounds. Celebrate with me, right? That stuff isn't on there. No, only the celebration, right? So again, we're thinking about things like we're a failure all the time because nobody puts realistic things on there, right? I woke up, I had a bad hair day. Here's me in the morning. Nobody puts that stuff on there, right? You know what I'm saying? Here, pre-makeup. Unfollow. How come they don't write? I got scared. But we're able to pray out mysteries of things that we need, whether that's addiction, whether that's our, you know, we need help in our thinking. We need open doors for example, a job. I remember one time, and again, Brother Hagin said this, and I'm telling you that it is absolutely true. Praying in tongues is the gateway into the supernatural. I had all the gifts of the Spirit in operation before I started pastoring. Like, I experienced all of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians, all 9 gifts of the Spirit. It happened to me. And I just thought that was normal, right? Because I got in tongues, I was so excited to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would sit there and pray hours and hours and hours, and it was glorious, right? It was like my salvation and the praying in the Spirit is something that is the most fantastic thing for me ever, right? We don't know how blessed we are to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't. And I remember praying. I was like, God, I was just praying about things, and I was like, I want to do a different job change, and I was working, and I woke up in the morning, And the Lord told me, you know, okay, I want you to apply for this job. Okay, so I did. And when I woke up the morning before I went to work, this is crazy, but I was praying things out, and I woke up, and as I was praying in tongues, I felt this presence set on me. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, this is the substance of things hoped for. An actual presence like sat on my chest, you know? I mean, it felt like when my kids were 3 years old, like they sat on my chest. It was a presence. It actually sat on my chest. When I woke up, I was praying. But when I was praying, I had a vision that I worked at Vermeer, and I had applied for programming to program all the machinery. And in this vision, I turned around, and my cousin's husband, he was my supervisor at the time, he was one of the hiring. But I saw him walk down the stairs, walk over to me, and say, they want to interview you for your job. So when I got to work, I looked over, and it happened exactly like the vision happened. Well, what happened? I prayed out things in mystery. Right? See, I had prayed in tongues for us. We'd prayed in tongues so we didn't get hit by a drunk driver one time. Well, that was praying out of mystery. I had no idea that guy was drunk coming to us and he almost hit us. I needed a job and it was the perfect thing, which led to another one and led to another one. And I had a lot of favor there. So again, we can pray things out. This isn't just that, I'm praying out mysteries. What are those mysteries, right? What are the things that we need from God to open doors up, right? Maybe we need a relationship to open up for us. Maybe we need to reconcile. Maybe we need, you know, I need a wisdom, God, how to make more money. I need these things. This is why the devil fights so much against this. Because if we can pray out things in the spiritual realm. You know, one time I was praying, and again, it's being led by the Spirit of God, but, you know, one time we were praying, this happened different times where we'd get to church the next day on Sunday. I'd be up Saturday praying from like 12 to 1. Somebody else would be praying from 1 to 2. Somebody else would be praying 2 to 3. Why? Because the Holy Spirit would just lead us to pray things out, right? And we'd have a Holy Ghost meeting or something would happen. I remember Saturday night praying the Holy Ghost and the Lord showed me like an open vision of this person. Because he's going to show you things, guys. Okay? He's going to show you things, and he's going to show you things not so you can go blab to people, but to pray things out and to help people. Okay? We need to learn that when we're God commissions us with the things, we need to be stewards over them. So, but this is years ago. We were still living in Oskaloosa, but I was praying, had a vision while I was praying that there was this person that I knew, and he had a friend of his that were standing there. And these guys, they were in some kind of confrontation. He went and punched this other guy, but the person that I knew, they just stopped. Well, I was praying that out, right? 2 weeks later, I'm talking to this person on the phone. Hey, what's going on? No. We're just, you know, talking. Like, hey, where were you at 2 weeks ago? What's going on? Oh, me and so, my buddy, we were out. And he goes, you know, it's the weirdest thing. We walked out, and these guys thought this, and we were drinking, and these guys came, and they hit him. And then it's like they came up to me, and they just froze. I said, I knew it. I saw that 2 weeks ago, and I prayed for you. They didn't hit you because I was praying for you. Right? See, we're praying. I had no idea what was going on. Didn't have a clue. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you that you need to pray out, right? Mysteries. I needed a job. I needed to pray for protection. I needed to understand. And you know, the Holy Spirit was letting me know there's a drunk driver there, right? Let's go to prayer school. When I was in, Adrian and I were, we were in prayer teams there. And at Rhema, we would pray for people and different things. And I was the only American in my prayer group. It was like there was an guy from England and one from Africa and one from South Africa. And I mean, it was like, yeah, yeah. It was a guy from France. It was like, I'm the only Yankee here. Hey, you know. But we'd get into prayer times and we'd see things in the spirit realm and God would show us things because we're praying out. We were praying for you know, missionaries and different things like that. And we'd get information from people and the prayer school would feed us information. Hey guys, we need to pray for this. Great. We'd pray for it and the Holy Spirit would show us things. And then sometimes we would lay that information back, excuse me, to them. What we were praying for. Well, you know, during those times, the Holy Spirit's going to show you things to pray out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't know. And here's the thing, too. When we become more of a, how can I say, a mature believer, Brother Hagin said, I stopped praying for myself a long time ago. And when we're focused more on, moron, that didn't sound very good, did it? Pastor's calling people morons at church. No. move along. but we, you know, we would pray things out. We were praying out mysteries unto God. We didn't know what we needed to pray out, did we? Right. You know, when I'm in Africa, it's amazing because the demons there aren't medicated like they are here. Right? And it's one, it was interesting. We were doing this and I was praying the Holy Ghost. And of course the demon possessed guy has to come running after me, you know, and I'm like, whatever. So they grabbed him, tackled him, foaming with mouth, whatever, you know. It's like, shut up. We don't have to listen to your mouth. And so we get him delivered from it and everything. But the school there, we were in Garsen, or that was another location, but we eventually went to Garsen. And in Garsen, which is closer to Somalia, very hostile, very, very Muslim, you know, Vidar and I drove there and we kept praying the Holy Ghost and he's like, how do you feel about this? And you know, it's pretty creepy when you have traffic everywhere and you get to a guarded station and then you take about 20 miles and there's not a single car on the road, right? I'm like, I feel fine. Why? Because we're praying out mysteries. We're praying things out before we get. I said last week, I spent hours praying before I went because you're praying things out. You are praying your future out. That's what this is on 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're praying out mysteries. We are praying out our future. You're going to pray out your future. Mysteries. I don't really care about the mysteries that happened yesterday. I want to know what's going ahead because I can't change yesterday. But if I'm driving a car, I can steer right or left or change where I'm heading, but I can't change anything behind me. And so when we're praying out mysteries, it is the future. Acts chapter 13. We'll go to Acts chapter 13 here. I'm kind of going all over the place, but there's a method to my madness. So very important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you right now. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And now, this is a ministers getting together, okay? Corporate prayer time. And there's something very important about corporate prayer. Verse 2, it says, as I ministered to the Lord, this is, you know, Saul's in there, Barnabas is in there. All these, you know, teachers and prophets. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereon I called them." For when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. There we go. So they being sent forth by what? The Holy Ghost. This is so different than most denominations now, because most denominations, you got to apply, you got to connect with somebody, you got to do this and you got to do this. Them, they just got together in the Holy Ghost because I want them to go here. And they found their direction, their destiny through prayer. Yeah. With the Holy Ghost, together. I just say something. You know what? I know, excuse me. I know there's a lot of mavericks out there. They think that, well, I don't need to be in a spirit-filled church, and I don't need to do this, and I don't need to do this. It's a lie. I'm telling you right now, you have to be in a spirit-filled church. You know, it's interesting because everything that's been going on geopolitically, everybody, you know, all these people now are really into Robin Bullock, okay? Great. Or Amanda Grace. Okay, great. They speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Hello. Uh-huh. Right? All these denominational people are like, oh my gosh, this is so great. Oh, this is so incredible. Oh, this is so incredible. Well, three things I spoke at least 10 years ago. One, Roe v. Wade would be overturned. It was overturned, right? Second thing is that the New World Order would be overturned at some point. And it's going to be, right? And the third is that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. What that means is our financial system is going to be wrecked, and it's going to be corrected at some point. I'm talking about this 10, 15 years ago, right? People thought I was nuts. Well, vindication's coming, right? Didn't have any fanfare. I didn't have all these other things. I just understood economics, and I understood finance, and I understand listening to the Holy Spirit. It's going to happen, right? And some other things. We've seen Roe versus Wade. And the sad thing is, you know, I was celebrating Roe versus Wade overturn, and how many churches didn't even mention it? Right? Disgusting. And my disdain for other churches and pastors is building at a phenomenal rate. Like, I'm throw up when I have listened to a lot of these denominational people that are hirelings. Right? We don't want to talk about speaking in tongues, but you can do it on your own. Well, you're a hireling because you're scared people are going to leave, right? You don't want to do the right thing or say the right thing because you're scared. Well, guess what? Like Robin Bullock says, leave the church.
Right.
Don't go to those places. Not worth your time. Well, what else are they not telling you? Is he having an affair on his wife? Does he want to tell you about this? I mean, where does it stop, right? Well, I'm afraid to say these things. Well, then where does it stop? I can't talk about politics? How am I going to separate my faith walk with God, you know, if I'm too afraid to say that murdering babies is wrong? Man, you are so demonically drunk with demonic delusions, like we can't even walk together anymore. Right? That's what, and all of this is coming down to, we're seeing a divide. I have been ostracized. We are mocked and made fun of by denominational people, and I don't care. Right? Because I'm gonna stay the truth. They think we're crazy because we speak in tongues. Well, I'm sorry, but Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus commanded people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit before they went. And I don't believe God's happy with abortion, right? So if there's Christians out there that are like, man, I just don't know about that. Man, we're parting ways, right? I'm sorry, we can't walk together. No, because Jesus said, I came to have life, not abortion, and more abundantly. Because he cares about every single person. The little precious baby to the person that's going to take their last breath that's, you know, 102 years old. They're all precious. Life is precious. He cares about people. And so the enemy wants to kill the anointing. And where's the anointing? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. If he can strangle you and frustrate you and keep you away from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're never going to walk in fullness with Him. It's just never going to happen. Never going to happen. I remember we used to do these in our old church years ago. We would have these community events. All the churches would come together. Remember that, Adrian? You know? And they'd get a band together. And they always, you know, call Pastor or Adrian. They'd call the church, talk to Adrian. Hey, can Britt come play guitar? Great. I would play guitar. My friend Mike, my best friend, he went to another church. He played drums. The guy was like an octopus. Then they had a good friend of mine I went to college with. He was a bass player. He went to a Nazarene church. And so, you know, we had all this, you know, just, it was wonderful. Just a great time together. We were friends. And so we did these community events. We'd have, you know, whatever. The churches would get together and we'd do music and praise and worship sessions or whatever. Now, the Nazarene church was not Spirit-filled, okay? And they decided to do a WOW session on Saturdays, right? Worship on weekends. I think I got called 4 or 5 times. Hey, really want you to do this. We're trying to make it zippy. No. You need the Holy Ghost. You don't need zippy. Right? You don't need to make it zing. You need the Holy Ghost to shake things up, right? I mean, I can bring an element of maybe musicianship, but I ain't the Holy Ghost. I mean, I can carry the Holy Ghost, but we need the Holy Ghost, right? See, they had no idea what they were talking about. That's where we're seeing all these people now, like this Sean, who's the guy that's traveling, Adrian? Fouch? Foul. It's hilarious because he's traveling, you know, doing great things. He's from Bethel, okay? People went to this event and they think it's great that he's doing all this stuff, but they're on social media bashing Bill Johnson. It's like, it's Bethel, right? So they love taking our music and they like taking the Spirit-filled aspect of it, right? But we don't want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. I mean, it will not work that way. And the guy kept calling me. I'm like, you know what? Plus, it, you know, irritated my pastor because he's like, okay, what's going on? Why are we doing this here? And I'm, you know, a very loyal person. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is very, and it's not a, because, you know, you can tell people, I just say this, there's three, three dimensions, this is my saying, three levels of acceptance of the Trinity. One is God. Everybody accepts God, right? I mean, you got the heathens. Oh, man, he's cool, dude. Yeah, holy, yeah, God's awesome. And, you know, so even the world, you know, God. And then you have Jesus, which, you know, most of the church accepts Jesus. People outside of the church have a cow. Oh, Jesus, they don't. That's an Antichrist spirit. And then the Holy Ghost flips the church out, right? So, you know, you even have people in the world that's like, ew, Holy Ghost, man, that seems kind of cool, right? But the Holy Ghost is part of the Trinity. The Holy Ghost is part of the Trinity. And so we're not, it isn't Casper the Friendly Ghost or, you know, some horror show. It's like, this is the precious, like, sanctified Spirit of God that is manifesting through believers. But people act like we're insane. Let's see, where should we go? Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to wrap things up here, but about an hour or two. Okay. I'm kidding. You think. Matthew chapter 3. I mean, I don't even care. I've been mocked. I mean, it's just people, we've been ostracized. It doesn't matter. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is more important than their opinion. The Holy Spirit is much more precious to me than what people think. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, and it says, and Jesus went, he was baptized and went straight up out of the water. This is John the Baptist is baptizing him. And it says, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, Jesus, in John chapter 1:1, it says that the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. Jesus did not do any miraculous miracles until this point. Until we see here, chapter 4, verse 1, just right after that, it says, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. So we see here in Matthew chapter 3 and chapter beginning of chapter 4, the Word was waiting for the Spirit. Yeah. Right? What do we see here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2? And the earth was about form and void. This is where he's creating. And darkness is upon the face of the deep. Here we go. And the Spirit, everybody say Spirit, of God moved upon the face of the waters. So the what? The Spirit now is waiting for what? The Word. And what happened next? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm presenting something for your consideration. That's what I'm telling you. This is what the devil is fighting right now. Because the Word is activated by the Spirit, and the Spirit is activated by the Word. And when you separate them, they don't work. How do I know that? Let's look at, let's just talk about this. When I was a kid, are you getting bored yet? When I was a kid, really little, I grew up in the 70s, okay? And I grew up in Assembly of God, right? It was a Pentecostal church. Well, what happened? I saw the remnants at the end as a kid of the charismatic renewal with my own eyes. I experienced that as a kid. I saw manifestations. It's just crazy. I did one time, we were in a Sunday night church, and this person, you know, like Maria Woodworth, other people froze. One time, I've seen people frozen for like an hour, hour and a half, just frozen. Right? We didn't have teaching back then. It just stuff happened, right? And I just remember there was like one or two people that just were froze like that. And everybody just walked around them. Now, come on, standing in there this long, like motionless. Well, what happened was this. See, this is a prime example. The emphasis on the charismatic renewal was the Spirit, which was good, but there wasn't any Word. Then what happened was, when we got into the Word of Faith movement, I mean, there was still some manifestation, but the focus slowly drifted from the Spirit over to only the Word. Right. And then what happened is, and at the end of that, then it's now, it's become stagnant. Mm-hmm. Right? Yep. Stuff happens when we see an ignition of both. I just lost connection here, so I got to look at this on my phone here because I got to think about things here. There's another scripture I want to pull out. John chapter 4:23. We'll close it up here in a minute. John chapter 4. Give me a drug-infested addict or some absolute heathen in the world, and let me lead them to Jesus. But I don't like dealing with religious people. Because they know everything, right? And they've got it all figured out. I'm not saying I have everything figured out, right? I'm not. But I want more of the Holy Ghost, right? I want to experience Him. Him lead me down some path. John chapter 4, verse 23, and it says, Jesus speaking, talking about the woman of the well, but the hour comes, and now is when the true worshipers, may I say true worshipers, shall worship with the word. Can I really flip you out now? Are you going to be good? I'm not put on this earth to worship the Bible. I'm not here to worship the Bible. I'm here to worship Jesus. And the Bible is a format for me to get to Him. It helps me. Right? But when we're so churches and they're just like, they can't get away from this. It says here, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit, what and what? Truth. Jesus said, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life, right? There's spirit and truth again. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. Here we go again. God is what? A spirit. See, you didn't get the first time, so we're going to say it again. And they that worship Him must what? Worship Him in spirit and in truth. He said it again, right? It's like, Jesus, how many times do you need to say this? He is the way, the truth, and the life, right? So we need the Spirit and the truth. So we need to have the Word and the Spirit together. Don't like that, huh? Okay. All right. I do too. Let's keep going just for a minute. Oh, this will throw you for a loop here. Acts chapter 19. Oh, I love this. I'm going to wallop you right here. Is that okay? I might even make some people mad or happy. I don't, nobody's going to get mad here. Nah, we're not going to be mad. I'm just teasing you. Acts chapter 19. Here is the denominational church. Here are the people, the anti-Holy Ghost people. Yay! Let's see what happens here. Acts chapter 19. Verse 13, and certain of the vagabond Jews, I'm going to read a New Living Translation, this is great. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits, right? They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their, here we go, incantation. They had no idea what they were doing. These clowns are getting ready to, whoa, buddy. Saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. The seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, who was doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leapt on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. Oh, buddy. Right? So the fake news got busted up on, right? These people were not baptized. They were not filled with the Spirit. They were just going around playing games. How many people are out there like this? I'm just saying, right? We're watching this thing, and you know, of this worship session with Sean, and at the end, because I couldn't be there, so just kind of watching it at the end, and the pastor that was up there after Sean got in praise and worship, he was reading these scriptures, but he left out tongues. He would not say tongues. He would not talk about any of this other stuff. And then everything just fell apart. I'm like, right? And you know, it's and they're so scared of talking about these things because somebody may be offended. You know, some other leadership I remember in the Bible it was like that was King Saul, right? Didn't disobey God and was like, well, the people made me do it.
Yeah, right.
Moses went up to the mountain, came back, and Aaron's like, well, the people. No, wait, who's in charge? Are you in charge, right? Adrian comes home. The girls, they're the ones that did it. Right?
Are you in charge? Are you their father?
Apparently not. It's something that just to be bold about. And be proud about it. Now we're not going out trying to make people mad and you know, everything else too. I'm gonna walk. I remember one time. I'll close with this, but I remember one time we were in New Orleans doing street evangelism one time, and I'm witnessing this guy. And this other guy, you got to understand him. He's golden heart, but he's just goofy, right? And so I'm standing there witnessing to this guy, and he's standing here. Of course, you know, we're talking about, you know, pray under your voice. Like, you know, stand over there and just pray in tongues while I'm witnessing this guy. And so I'm sitting there sharing with him and talking, and he's sitting there going, I went over like, Daniel, is there something wrong with you? Shut up and get out of here, right? Because we're not trying to talk to him. And the guy kept looking at him, and I had to say, can you just go? Okay, you can pray, but please don't spray the person, right, while you're praying. Okay, let's not be weird. All right, but anyway, that's not what we're saying. But because they're just people that are just goofy and they take, you know, spiritual things, you know, we're talking about being in the spirit. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're all glossy-eyed and bumping into walls and junk. No, it just means we're positioned and listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen? It doesn't mean we're weird. Jesus wasn't weird. Kids wanted to be around him. People wanted to be around him all the time. The Spirit was upon him, and he was large and in charge at that point. There was nothing weird about Jesus at all. But he walked in something, and he had that power on him, and he wasn't afraid to walk in it. And again, this is not only for you, but it's to be a blessing and to pray things out for people because you love people, right? We're not trying to be hostile towards any other group because, number one, they don't understand it. They just don't understand, right? I mean, and it's like me getting up on, like, what is that, BET,
yeah,
TV, you know, and putting on a rap outfit and trying to host a show or something. I mean, can you imagine what kind of a big idiot I look like? Yo, man, yo. They're like, shut up and get out, right? Can you imagine I'd be like that? My pants all the way down to here. Whoa, what's up, everybody? He's in the house. It's like, that's not me, all right? That's stupid. Maybe some of you are in here, and that's just right up your alley. That's, you know, good for you. But the point is, it's just, I don't have experience with that. Don't ask me to rap. Okay? I don't know it. It's foreign to me, and I don't care. And if you do that, good for you. Okay? And if you can use it for the Lord, great. But, no. I'm a blues, jazz, rock, country, whatever guy. I don't do the rap. Sorry. Classical. But I can't go in and dictate and tell someone something that I've never done or experienced how to do things, right? I can't do that. Like, for example, I can't go into the kitchen and tell you how to cook. It's going to get ugly real quick. I can smoke meat. I can grill. I like that. But if I come in and try to cook anything, oh, my goodness. You know, the stories. Okay, let's have some stories, okay, before we close, all right? We got married, and Adrian had a friend of hers over, and we just got married, and she made chili, and it was awful. And we're just, her college roommate and I are just laughing, making fun of her. It was hilarious. Anyway, then I decided, you know what? I'm going to show her how to do it. You know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this top notch. I made hamburger helper. Ladies, you are welcome. I'm telling you what, it's just, oh, you betcha. What happened was I made tuna. No, I had a hamburger, and instead of browning the hamburger and then put it in, I just tossed the whole hamburger in there, like, you know, I mean, I look like the Muppet Chef, whooshny, 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 doing this junk, you know, and I think I'm a hero, and then she's like, what are you doing? You're supposed to brown. I'm like, I'll fish it out. And it's like, it was bad. It was really bad. So it was, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So, all right. So I had to eat a big old helping of humble pie that night. So, and I've had a few slices since then. So, anyway, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's just wonderful. And, you know, it just frees you up. It gives you joy. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, like Emily was just talking about earlier, you know, when you pray, the Holy Spirit shows up, there's joy. We see in Acts chapter 6, joy when Philip showed up. In chapter 9 in Acts, there's joy in Samaria when he shows up there. And the whole place is rejoicing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, there's joy. There's joy. And the last thing you want to do is stifle that. Because there's vision. There's Jesus said in John chapter 14, the Spirit of truth will lead and guide you into all truth. Mm-hmm. Advocate, your intercessor, your guide, your comforter. I mean, all of these things, the Holy Spirit wears a lot of hats. And he's there to help you, comfort you, lead you, guide you, help you. Illuminate your path. We need help. My goodness, I mean, I need all the help I can get. Amen? With wisdom and knowledge and anything else we can get a hold of. Amen? And it doesn't mean God wants us to ask. He said to ask liberally. Yes. That he's going to pour it out for us. Amen? Praise Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Tonight, I just pray the peace of God on people tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. This with dissension and everything that's going on in the world, Father, we have joy unspeakable and full of glory tonight. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you that there is just joy unspeakable tonight. Just joy and peace, Lord God. We just come against depression tonight. Any kind of anxiety, fear, anything that would try to attack people. We say they're free in their bodies and in the name of Jesus. We thank you that wisdom is pouring out tonight as well. Father, that you're revealing things to people in the nighttime. And in the morning when they spend time with you, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you love them and you want to help them. And you do care about them. And we thank you in your name. Amen. 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 Well, try to keep cool out there. Amen. Like Mr.
Hillbilly Hank.
Hillbilly Hank. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great week.